All right, Commanders offensive and defense coordinators talking today. You're going to hear that right here on B. Mitch and Finley. But coming up right now, we are excited to get the voice of the New York Giants, Mr. Bob Papa, on the line. Bob, what's going on, man? Thanks for making time for us today.
Hey, great to be on with you guys. How are you?
Good, man. How you doing?
We're doing really well. It's kind of interesting. We've been having this debate here with the first NFC East game of the season for Washington and for the Giants also. You know, for a long time in the NFC East, there was kind of like a hierarchy of the rivalries. And Washington and Dallas were big, and Philly and New York were big. And they were all big, but it was kind of those two and then kind of down from there. For your viewpoint with the Giants, like, how does the NFC East stack up for, like, a rivalry standpoint?
It's a great question because it depends on your age, right? I mean, yep. When you think about the 80s, it was the Giants and Washington were basically the big dogs of the NFC East, and it was almost as if the 49ers were part of the rivalry because it felt like the Giants and it felt like the 49ers would play each other a whole heck of a lot in Monday night football games, competing for chances to go to the Super Bowl. Obviously, it's changed dramatically, you know, over the last 25 years. And the Giant-Philly thing is now, you know, pretty intense. And I think all three teams in the division share the commonality in the absolute disdain for Dallas.
100%.
So it's kind of interesting because, yeah, this rivalry certainly has not been the same. And, you know, listen, it's been a pretty down time for the Commanders over the last 20 years or so. So it's hard to be a rival when you're not having success.
I think that's really – and where Brian and I kind of landed was – and obviously B played for this organization and all the NFC East games were crazy, but Dallas Week used to really mean something. And now it's like generally the Commanders, the Burgundy and Gold, whatever they're called, have played their best games against the Eagles. And maybe that's why that's ramped up. And generally they've played terribly against the Giants.
Yes, they have.
So knowing that and knowing this is a new staff, kind of a new day in D.C., what do you make – I mean, Giants look pretty rough week one. Daniel Jones looked pretty rough. But, man, they always show up in Landover.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. I mean, Jones is 5-1-1 against the Commanders. He had one of his best games his rookie season in that overtime win when he threw for 352 and 5 touchdowns in the game. But, yeah, so if there's ever a get-right game, like if he can't function to the level that he functioned his rookie year or even 2 years ago when he didn't turn the ball over and he accounted for 22 touchdowns and the Giants went on the road and won a road playoff game, if this week is a continuation of last week, which is a continuation of what happened the year before, I think his time as the starting quarterback of the Giants is going to be growing pretty narrow because, wow. You hope that he's not, you know, completely shell-shocked after the beating that he took last year. Now, he's coming off an ACL and he, as Phil Simms told me the other day, he goes, you know, he was almost playing too fast. He was almost overreacting to things. So he's got to find that balance. Now, look, Dan Quinn is the DC with Dallas, 6-0 against the Giants. So he has been able to concoct a recipe from a scheme standpoint that has given the Giants fits as the DC of the Cowboys. Unfortunately for him, he wasn't able to bring Micah Parsons and Diggs and all those other guys. Lawrence couldn't bring all those guys with him, but I'm sure he'll do some things that'll cause the Giants some issues offensively.
Well, the defense of the Giants is that's their better, I would say, side. Didn't look like it against the Vikings. What was their problem last week?
Yeah, that's a great question, Brian, because they did a decent job against the run early, but they kind of let go of the rope. Listen, it's a new scheme. Shane Bowen is coming in. They've changed over personnel. They didn't have one of their starting inside backers, Micah McFadden. He was injured, so they started a sixth-round rookie who played okay in the game. I just think that the whole thing kind of snowballed on them. And they played hard for 60 minutes, but they just, when they got down, it looked like they really couldn't figure out a way out of it on either side of the ball. I mean, Sam Darnold hit his first 13 pass attempts. That's not Patrick Mahomes. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think with, you know, Sunday there was a big celebration. This is the 100th season of Giants football, and we rolled out onto the field at halftime the top living 100 players in the history of the franchise, and a family member of the deceased, and a lot of those are Hall of Famers. And it was such this weekend was so built up, and it almost felt like the pressure got to them. And when things went wrong, and they fell behind 7-3, and then they fell behind 14-3, it was like they were in quicksand, and they could not make a play to get themselves out of it.
Talking with Bob Papa here, voice of the Giants. You can follow him on Twitter, X, whatever you want to call it, at @BobPapa_NFL. It's interesting you say the quicksand thing there, because between Hard Knocks, which I can't imagine the organization is thrilled they were forced to do that at this point, because it really didn't look great for at least Joe Shane, I would say.
For sure.
Between Hard Knocks and John Mara publicly saying, I really don't want to see Saquon in Philly. And then Saquon going for 3 touchdowns in the opener. And then Jones throwing 2 picks, including a pick 6 in the opener. What is like the vibe, or just kind of, how are people trying to ignore like the big picture and just focus on the immediacy of this week up there?
Well, it depends. It depends on who you're talking about. If you're talking about fans, media, you know, it's all an uproar. But as Brian knows, NFL players, professional athletes have an ability to compartmentalize things, because you can't let – I think this was a Dan Quinn quote last year when the Cowboys got smoked in a game. I don't know if it was against the Niners or somebody. They got smoked. And his message to his defense was, we can't let what happened last week affect the outcome of what is going to happen this week. And I think you got to just put that in the rearview mirror. You do your corrections, you learn from it, you do what you got to do, and then you just go out and begin your preparation for a new week, because you can't change what happened last week, as bad as it was. As far as this Jones situation is concerned, look, they tried to get a deal done with Saquon. He wound up signing with Philadelphia for the same exact deal that the Giants offered him during the bye of 2022. For whatever reason, that number wasn't acceptable. And, you know, they played the franchise game with him. But you move on, because I think they come of the philosophy of, you don't allocate that much money to that position in today's NFL. And if you go back to the 2007, the 2000 season, where the Baltimore Ravens had that incredible defense, and they had a rookie running back who was outstanding, went for over 1,000 yards, and it was a very run-centric offense because of their – it was a run-centric offense, and then throw it to Shannon Sharp, and then play great defense. Either you take that team, and you take Marshawn Lynch in Seattle when they won the Super Bowl against the Broncos, where the offense was built around Marshawn Lynch, and then a young Russell Wilson would make some plays down the field. Mm-hmm. If you look at every Super Bowl champion since, show me the high-paid first-round draft pick, fulcrum of the offense running back that's been handed a Lombardi trophy. And I'll only give you those two. Everybody else has won with a compilation. The Giants did it in 07 and 11 with a three-headed monster. Do you remember who Aaron Rodgers' running back was? Can you name all of Brady's running backs over the different incarnations? You know,
it's a good point.
The game has changed, and I don't think he wanted to allocate $13 million a year to a running back and have the offense and be built around that player, because history has shown us – in this century that running back-centric offense with a stud highly paid back don't deliver Super Bowls. Ezekiel Elliott didn't win a Super Bowl. Adrian Peterson didn't win a Super Bowl. Kansas City's doing it with a run. I'm not saying you don't have to have a run game because Kansas City proved that, but you can do it with undervalued assets.
But see, the thing about it, though, all those teams had exceptional quarterbacks. The Giants don't have an exceptional quarterback.
Well, right now they don't. Yeah, right now he's the guy.
If you have Aaron, you can win with a subpar running back. If you don't have those type of running, I think that's the problem. Everybody that tries to follow that mindset, if you don't have that quarterback, you might want to go with another position. And I just think somebody hadn't really stuck to it. They keep trying to copycat the rest of the league, and Daniel Jones is none of those quarterbacks.
Correct. And remember, they didn't draft him. Dave Gettleman drafted him. And, you know, they got in a situation with Saquon and his contract's up and Jones, and they were going to franchise one and they were going to sign the other, and they couldn't get the deal done with Barkley, but they were able to get a deal done with Jones, and they have an out after 2 years. Remember, they didn't draft him. So, you know, it's not their guy. Like, Dan Quinn's coming in, and he's got Jaden Daniels, and he's going to be able to ride with them and let them grow. This they were trying to kind of patch together and fix somebody that had been broken. And let's face it, how many quarterbacks really do have success in the NFL when in your first 5 years you've had three head coaches, two general managers, five offensive coordinators, and six different offensive line coaches? It really doesn't lead to success. So I guess it's kind of like, hey, we're going to put some weapons around him. We're going to fix the offensive line to the best of our abilities. We're going to draft a Malik Nabers, and now it's put up or shut up. And if not, we can get out of this deal after this year because it was a 4-year deal but with an out after two. And then we'll go draft a quarterback that we think can lead us to where we have to go.
All right.
Hey, Bob, how healthy is that offensive line? I know that was a real point of emphasis this offseason for the Giants, and then seemed like I thought I saw guys were even getting banged up in the preseason.
Yeah, they really didn't have the group fully together throughout the preseason, but unlike when Brian played where offensive lines were given, you know, 3 years to gel. God, I remember George Young telling me in 1988 as they're starting to draft the guys to replace the Suburbanites, you know, he goes, they'll get reps, and, you know, within 3 years, they'll all come together. Now the NFL, it's like, hey, if you get, like, two preseason games in and you get, like, 2 weeks' worth of practice together. Yeah, exactly. But I think they're relatively healthy. I mean, Andrew Thomas is back. He's still a stud. They've upgraded the position, but not with Pro Bowl players, just better players than they had. And, you know, this is a big weekend for the Giants. I think it's a bigger weekend for the Giants than it is for the Commanders in the sense that, look, you know what Jaden Daniels potentially is going to be, and you already saw some good stuff in week one, and this is a new program. This is a new situation. I think there's a lot more pressure on the Giants on Sunday because there were some different expectations for them coming into the year.
I agree with you. Everything in Washington, no matter – they could go 0-17 and everybody's coming back, you know? Like, they're not going to go 0-17, but this is the first year of a rebuild. Everybody's aware of the scenario. There's real pressure on front office coaches, everything in New York.
Yeah.
What is the path for the Giants to win on Sunday?
The path for them to win on Sunday would be the quarterback, obviously, to play better. And I'm not just talking about the two interceptions. One of them was a fourth and goal from the 8-yard line. What are you going to do if nobody's open? You're going to throw it out of bounds, incomplete? You're going to take a chance, right? You're going to try to zip one in there and hit somebody. I think it's I think that what they have to do in this football game is not turn it over, obviously. They got to get a little bit more of a run game, which is going to be tough against those two D tackles in there. But I think if they can get a little bit of rhythm and not get into these third and longs. I mean, last year, the Giants were 31st in third down conversions or 30th in third down conversions, and 40% of their third downs were 9-plus. And they had a bunch of third and longs again last week. They got to stay in better down and distance because, look, you guys saw it last week. The Commander secondary can be had, all right? And the Giants have some guys that can stretch a defense and then get Malik Nabers in space. And, you know, defensively, the Giants are going to have to keep eyes on Jaden Daniels, right? Because if you're playing man and your back's turned and that first read is taken away, he's not going to just hurt you with his legs. He's going to crush you with his legs. And, you know, in nine career games against the Giants, McLaurin's got three 100-yard receiving games. I'd expect him to be more involved this week. And, you know, don't let Brian Robinson start ripping off runs where Jaden Daniels can play on schedule.
It's gonna be a fun one, Bob. We appreciate you making time for us, man. I know you're busy on a game week and you got a lot going on, but we'll see you. I don't know if you're ready for this. Do you know the new name of the stadium?
Yeah, Northwest Stadium.
Boom.
Yeah.
We will see you at Northwest Stadium on Sunday, Bob. Thanks very much.
Hey, can I give you one funny, interesting little nugget that I unearthed?
Absolutely.
This is like one of the few times you might have Jaden Daniels and Daniel Jones in the same sentence. But obviously Jaden Daniels last week had two rushing touchdowns in his first ever start. He's the first quarterback in his first ever start, not week one, but his first ever start since Daniel Jones in 2019 to rush for two or more touchdowns in his first career start. And Jones' first start in Tampa when they won, he ran for two touchdowns that day, too. So they're tied forever.
Yeah, that's crazy. Hey, Bob, real quick, you said that if Jones doesn't start playing better, he could find himself on the bench. Would they be going to DeVito?
Well, I think next up is Drew Locke, who they signed.
Okay, I thought he was hurt or something.
Yeah, he was hurt, but he's been taking reps at the two. Actually, DeVito is 1-0 lifetime against the Commanders. He beat them last year.
I remember,
but I think it would go to Locke next. But you know, the Giants are hoping against hope that none of this gets to that, and that Jones can play better, and they can play better offensively. Because I mean, look, they had five games last year in which they scored less than 7 points, and you know they've already gotten one under their belt. Dable's first year as head coach, they didn't have any games in which they didn't score a touchdown in a game. So
it's crazy.
There's a lot of heat to get things going offensively.
Bob, thank you again.
Appreciate
man.
You, Bob.
Yeah, good talking to you guys.
All right, man.
All right. Thank you. That is Bob Papa, voice of the Giants. If you'd like to get more stuff, I mean, he does all NFL for Sirius. I mean, that guy is wired in across the entire
that
National
is.
Football League. Give him a follow at @BobPapa_NFL. Right here on Beamish and Finley, what we're going to do is bring you Cliff Kingsbury and Joe Witt press conferences. You need to hear what Cliff said, something incredibly refreshing when a coach admits a mistake. Nobody go anywhere. Be Mitch and Finley, 106.7 The Fan. If you missed any of our interview with Bob Papa, get on that Odyssey app,
Papa.
Figure it out, rewind, find the podcast, do something. It's there. We have been on the air now for 2.5 hours and pretty much exclusively talked football. I don't know if maybe we did something else there. We are going to give away some Marley Brothers tickets.
Yeah.
And I did complain that Capital Grille closed at 9. But I think outside of that, it's been exclusively football. All of your football coverage on 106.7 The Fan is presented by T-Mobile.
Yep.
Switch to T-Mobile and you can get tons of benefits and still save on every plan versus AT&T and Verizon. Check out the savings calculator to find out how at T-Mobile.com/switch. Now, Commanders offense coordinator Cliff Kingsbury calls the plays for Washington, has a little speaker directly into Jaden Daniels' helmet. Cliff spoke to the media today.
In general, what did you think of that, the collective group getting open or being available for Jaden, things like that?
Yeah, overall, I thought, you know, assignment was really good, especially for a first game. Only two penalties, no turnovers. Played good in the red zone. Got to be better on third down. But overall, I thought they played hard. We preached playing without the ball, and I thought that showed up a ton. And had some opportunities. I think as we go, we'll make some of the plays that you saw. But I liked what I saw from that group. Effort was there and pretty clean for a first game.
And to stay with the receivers, just curious what you've seen with Luke as he's developed. Guy wasn't necessarily with the ones a lot in practice, but played a lot now. And then with Noah Brown possibly getting back in this week or getting in this week.
Yeah, we'll see with Noah. He's coming off a little bit of an injury, so we're easing him back in. But he's had some big games, been a very talented player in this league. I'm excited to see what he can do. And then Luke just continues to progress, whether it's outside, inside, learning the entire system. Can do a lot of different things. He's physical in the run game. So we'll continue to see what he can handle and expect him to continue to ascend.
What was your biggest takeaway from Jaden and what he can kind of learn from that game Sunday?
The competitive spirit, I think, just to watch how he continued to fight, especially at the end. You know, I called one of the worst plays I've ever called in my entire career, and he just took the ball and ran into the end zone, you know, and it was like he was not going to be denied there on the goal line, and it says a lot about him in that situation. A lot of people would not have taking that opportunity to drive that ball down and then put it in the end zone, and he wanted the ball in his hands and wanted to score. So that was exciting to see. I think every day he gains more and more credibility in the locker room with his, you know, work ethic, his attention to detail, and then the competitive spirit is as good as I've ever been around.
Well, if you can expand on the worst call, but I did want to follow up.
I've had plenty in my career, but this was like probably the top.
I'd be curious to hear why it was, but then also with Jaden, like when you're a rookie going your first game, and sometimes do you have a tendency to maybe predetermine some reads and things like that, and how do you help him develop in that area?
Just playing, you know, that you have to play to even come close to simulating what a live NFL game is in season on Sundays. And I thought, like I said, his operation to not have any pre-snap penalties, to only have two penalties overall, one of them probably shouldn't have been a penalty, was really good. No play clock violations. I mean, I thought he handled himself well, and as he plays, the game will continue to slow down. But as far as the play, I called basically a speed option with no check, and they overplayed it to one side, so he just stuck his foot on the ground and got in the end zone with, you know, the highest paid safety in football chasing him and just found a way in. So it says a lot about, I mean, we knew he likes to compete, but it definitely showed on Sunday.
Much has been made about the 16 carries. I mean, how do you guys read that? I mean, it's all game circumstance, but how do you sort of interpret?
Yeah, I think there's a couple calls, you know, where we thought we had premier looks that ended up hitting inside that you'd like to have back. You know, if he walks in, then it looks really good. But a lot of those, he did a great job. I'm not sure how many actually got contacted and taken to the ground on, but he does a great job finding the soft spot, finding out of bounds. But we understand, like, he has to take care of himself, and we want him to continue to grow, and you can't do that if you're banged up and on the sideline.
Austin Eckler seemed to have a pretty good game. What did you see from him, and just what do you look? What do you like from him and what you've seen over the last few months?
Yeah, he just has a lot of juice left. I think there's been a misnomer, like maybe he lost a step in L.A. or something was off. But since he showed up here, I mean, he's busted his tail every practice, every day, weight room, film study. And then he just is very available on checkdowns and things like that with the quarterbacks. And does a great job drop stepping and getting extra yards. And that, for a young guy, to have a safety blanket like that or Zach Ertz is really invaluable.
Why was it one of the worst calls of your career?
Basically, I didn't give him a check to get out of it. So they didn't bump with the motion. There was about three guys outside on the option. And so he saw that and he ran it anyways and just stuck his foot in the ground and cut back and ran a couple guys over and got in the end zone. So with that look, he needs a play to check out of. And he just said, snap it and said, I got you, coach. Got in the end zone. But yeah, if I had that one back, I would rather him not get hit like that.
It looked like there were a couple runs that were designed inside. Is that the case? And if so, what's the thought process on running him inside?
Yeah, like I said earlier, we thought we had premier looks, really liked the scheme, thought it would hit in a different way, and ended up forcing him inside. And they have a really good front and kind of collapsed it. And so second guessing it, would not have wanted him to get hit inside like that. But learning experience for all of us, and we got to be smarter. I got to be a better coach moving forward.
Coach, I don't want to harp too much on the Jaden Daniels running too much thing, but obviously that's a point of conversation out here. As a coordinator, as a coach, like, you know, that's part of the reason you guys brought him in here was his athletic ability. How close to the line do you have to dance before you risk maybe kind of taking away that superpower, as DQ puts it?
I mean, I don't think the first game with the reigning MVP of the league had the same amount of rushes, right? I mean, I'm not saying he's the same guy, but your first game as a rookie, you're going to have some survival mode, fight or flight going on. And he got out, like I said, didn't get hit a ton, and made some big plays with his feet. So you got to walk that line. I've had a bunch of guys who could run and extend plays, and you walk that line of when to pull back and when not to. And I think as he plays, he'll get a better comfort level, and I'll get a better feel for him, and we'll just progress together.
And that's kind of actually what I was going to ask you as a follow-up. Like, now that he's got a full regular season game of film to go back and watch and an exotic defense to look at what they're trying to do, how much or how valuable is that experience now that he can step on the field and say, oh, I've seen this before, and how much will that help the game slow down for him?
Yeah, that's as exotic as you're going to see with what Coach Bowles does, and Coach Bowles having an entire offseason to kind of prep for it. Gave him a bunch of different looks, and I thought he handled a lot of them well, like I said, to not turn it over against those guys, and really drove the ball down for 5 scoring opportunities. We didn't score on all of them, but I thought he was efficient in a lot of his processes, and a lot of that stuff, the next time he sees it, it'll be slower, and he'll be able to make a few more plays.
What was your impression of, I guess, the offensive line, and when the quarterback has to scramble 7 times, how does that kind of change the way that you are calling plays?
Yeah, it's a really good front, and like I said, a few of those were first read and get out, you know, as your first game as a rookie, and he knows he has a lot of faith in his legs, and I would too if I could run like that. So he made some plays early and got out of there, but I thought they battled against a really good front, and like no pre-snap penalties. I don't know how many holds they had. I don't think many. And so I thought that was, from an execution standpoint, played a clean game. I mean, we can all get better, coach and players, but I thought as a group they played an efficient game.
And sorry, at left tackle, Brandon Coleman and Cornelius Lucas were rotating a little bit there early on. Do you want to get to a point where you have kind of a set starting five and you're not having to make those in-game rotations?
I think everybody would like that, where it's pretty defined, but both those guys had earned the right to play in that game, and felt like we had a good rotation going, and Brandon's an ascending player and continues to get better, and Luke's been doing this a long year, and so there's some comfort there. But yeah, I think eventually you like to have your five that you can roll out there together and build that kind of unity.
Hey, Coach, what kind of problems does Dexter Lawrence present to an offensive line?
I'd say now that Donald is gone, is much of a problem as anybody in the league. You know, I think him and Max Crosby are probably the two most disruptive D linemen in the league. Chris Jones is another one, but just watching him when he goes head up on your center, it's like good luck. I mean, you got to find ways to try to neutralize him. He can blow up pass plays, run plays, he can do it all. So I think tremendous talent. The stamina is what really gets me for being a really big guy. Like, he continues to play hard throughout the game, even if you try to keep him on the field, and he's just plays hard and has a high motor for being a guy of that size.
And obviously Deontay Banks hasn't been in the league for too long, but like, have you seen him grow over the last, you know, year or so?
Yeah, I think continues to get better as a player. I think he's a guy that they can build with, and they're excited about his future. So I'm excited to see how we kind of match up against both those guys on Sunday. It'll be a real test for us.
All right, thanks, Coach.
Thank you all.
That's Commanders offense coordinator Cliff Kingsbury. B, I found it really refreshing for Cliff just to be like, I called the wrong play. The kid bailed me out. I got to make sure not to put him in that position again.
Totally. And not many coaches will do that.
No, so
I have more respect for him than I had before, because, you know, a lot of coaches will come up and they'll never let you know when they made a mistake. But when he did that says a lot about him.
Dude, I thought the exact same thing. And I think it's got to be nice for Cliff that he is not in some desperation. He's not looking to get the first possible job offer he can, right? One, he's got Arizona still paying him head coaching money, which is a big factor.
Yeah.
Two, he wants to grow with Jaden and see what they can build here. And I think it just allows him – I don't think he really cares what the media thinks anyway, but it allows him to be totally free and just own, yeah, made a mistake here, made a mistake there. One other thought I've had in the last couple minutes here. One, do you know what Dexter Lawrence's nickname is?
Nope.
Sexy Dexy.
I will not be calling no grown-ass man Sexy Dexy.
6'4", 340, baby.
Lawrence.
All right. So here's what we know is he's incredibly disruptive. We also know that Tyler Biadasz has started just about every game for the Cowboys at center for the last 3 years. Mm-hmm. Now, Lawrence has been in the league longer than Biadasz, but those two have had a lot of battles with Biadasz starting at center in Dallas. against the Cowboys in 10 games, Dexter Lawrence has no sacks and one TFL.
Okay.
Now, he still generates pressure. Don't get me wrong. He's got 8 quarterback hits in that time frame. But Lawrence has been way, way more productive against other teams.
Well, maybe that stat and also what Bob said earlier about Dan being 6-0 against Daniel. That it may help out this time. So let's just let it happen.
What do you think is more relevant? Dexter Lawrence's success rate against Dallas, where the center just came from. Here's Sexy Dexy's numbers against the Skins over his time. 4.5 sacks and 6 TFLs to go with 34 combined tackles. Nobody go anywhere. We'll open the phone lines up for Bleep You Thursday at 1 o'clock. Tricky. B. Bishop Finley, 106.7 The Fan. We're going to do Bleep You Thursday. We haven't done it in a while just because it's been crazy. But today we're going to lock in. We're going to do it. 800-636-1067. We'll take your calls starting at 1 o'clock. I did want to check in with the boys in the aquarium after listening to Cliff Kingsbury, who said, you know, I called the wrong play there. But I thought what he said specifically about Jaden running, right? I just tweeted out this line because I thought it was so good. It's his first game as a rookie. You're going to have some survival mode, fight or flight going. He got out. He didn't get hit a ton. As he plays more, he will get a better comfort level, and I'll get a better feel for him. I think that is really, really fair to describe Jaden's run volume in week one of the NFL.
It's totally fair. And it's what we said all week, though, man. Like, when you ask me the question, I hear everyone's, oh, I don't want him to run. He has that ability that nobody else has. Why take that away from him? Yeah, you want him to try and, like, clean it up a little bit. But you never want him to ever think that if I run, it's going to be a problem.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Totally.
He ran 16, and he, for the most part, he took care of himself. It's going to be a game when he runs 16, and he had to run 16. And if he doesn't run it, you know, and they don't win the game. Let's say he had to run 16 to win the game. You want him to not run it? And I believe that, you know, the fact that that kid is a competitor, it's going to be hard as hell for us to get the quarterback that we – like, I hear fans, they basically want a guy to go back there, throw the ball, and never run. He's not going to be that. That's not who he is.
Totally. I think he's going to run, man. He ran in college. It's not going away. He's also really freaking good at it. Like, I joked about this Monday night when the news came out that McCaffrey wasn't going to play, right? I said, oh, man, they need to get him into a class to learn how to slide. Like, sometimes just football is football, and yeah, things are going to happen. I understand the concern with a quarterback with his frame taking that many hits. I totally get it. I think there will be less scrambling against the Giants because the Giants don't blitz like Tampa does, and he's now learned the speed of the NFL. And I think he will look to get the ball downfield. I asked Jaden about this yesterday. That dude at LSU was a big play machine.
Yeah.
And sure, he wants to be patient. And sure, at LSU, he had Malik Nabers and Brian Johnson going against guys that probably
and
aren't playing on
that
this
went
level.
80 yards.
Right. But, like, it's not like all of a sudden he doesn't want to make big plays. He wants to. And I think they're going to come. And I think generally the big plays, there are the 80-yard runs. It happens. But generally, I mean, if you just look at, like, his touchdowns and his yardage, the more of the big plays are going to come through the air. He wants to get there and deliver those.
Yeah. I mean, he's going to work on the things he needs to work on. I can tell you, Jay, I understand his position being much more important, but I can remember being in the league and people come up and say, oh, man, you're not that big. Man, you can't keep getting hit like that. What am I going to do? Fair catch every play? Then you have a complaint about that. You got to play football. When you're a football player, I don't care how big you are, how small you are, you keep playing. And you look at some of the guys who've had success in this league. Hell, Aaron Jones is not that big. He's a running back in this NFL. And he runs the ball a lot, and people think he's going to get hurt, but he keeps coming back, keeps coming back. Some guys just built that way, man. And the thing with Jaden, I understand how his frame is. It's not like he had a different frame when he was in college or high school or whatever. He's used to that frame, and he seems to know how to use it. when you're getting hit sometimes, it looks very, very crazy to the fans. But just a slight turn takes a lot of the pressure off of it. And he does that, and he has an uncanny ability of doing it.
A little bit of news coming out of New York in advance of the Week 2 game this weekend against the Giants. Isaiah Simmons, a really high draft pick a few years back, has kind of bounced around a little bit. The Giants signed him. He was very close with a fellow by the name of DeAndre Overton, who died. They played ball together at Clemson. Simmons did not play last week, is on track to play this week. You never know what the emotional response is after something like that. Also, Darius Slayton did not play week one, I believe. Was in the concussion protocol, but is on track to play this Sunday. You never know with concussions, but that could be two more players that have produced anyway in the NFL coming back for the Giants. Something to keep an eye on there. Something for you to keep an eye on. This is pretty cool, actually. Jaden Daniels has been named the Pepsi Rookie of the Week for week one. And he just tweeted it out. He said, first of many. So that's cool, man. Congratulations to Jaden. For the folks that think he didn't play well, he just got named Rookie of the Week. So,
I mean, he played well, you know. But it's what people – this. I would ask this question, okay? He ran the ball 16 times. We've been talking about this for the whole damn week now. What if he had forced it down the field and thrown three interceptions? What the hell would y'all be saying then? So I think he chose the better option. Instead of forcing the ball and throwing picks, he ran the ball, got down, tried to protect himself. I think that's a good thing to do.
When we come back, phone lines are open, 800-636-1067. It is Bleep You Thursday.